countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal, bringing 295,000 readers the latest farming news and the best of rural Ireland weekly.
Now, intensive agriculture as a collective is one of the main causes of the decline in water quality, biodiversity loss and growing emissions and needs action. That's the message from the Environmental Protection Agency, which is the state's watchdog on the environment. The Director General of the EPA, Laura Burke, has said that business as usual will not reverse these trends. And Laura joins me in studio. Laura, good morning.
Good morning to you, Damien.
Lovely to see you. We've been seeing each other at virtual conferences, so it's good to see you in the flesh. So thanks for dropping in. Will you explain what the brief of the EPA is and what its role is in, you know, looking after the environment, particularly in agriculture?
Absolutely. And I suppose I'd kind of term it under three main headings: regulation, knowledge, and as an advocate for the environment. Regulation, as many of your listeners will know, we are an environmental regulator and we regulate things like intensive poultry farms, pig farms, but also the food and drink sector. And that's to make sure that the impact of the industry isn't having an adverse impact on the environment. In addition to that, we are a knowledge provider on what's the situation with regard to the environment. So we go out and we monitor water quality, we monitor air quality, we report on greenhouse gas emissions and ammonia emissions. So that's kind of our monitoring role. And then lastly, of course, as the EPA, we're an advocate for the environment and kind of, I suppose, promoting the importance of a good quality environment, but working with others to do that, including many of the farming organisations. So I suppose three kind of main areas: regulation, knowledge and advocate for the environment.
Yeah, and as you said there, you work with the IFA in this smart farming programme. But what do you see then as being the impact of agriculture on emissions, water quality and biodiversity as we sit here now?
What we're seeing at a national level is that, I suppose, all the trends are going the wrong way. Water quality is getting worse. Greenhouse gas emissions are going up and ammonia emissions are going up. So at a national level, what you're seeing is the trends are going in the wrong way. But what I would say is that national level picture masks an awful lot of really good action at a local level. So there's, like I was listening earlier to your farmer talking, the Farming for Nature, and the really good work that's happening on his farm. There's a lot of good work at local level. It's just the overall, the sum of the parts means that the trends are going the wrong direction.
As a collective, we might go back to that in a moment, but just in relation to water quality, when you talk about the decrease or the decline in water quality, that's not just agriculture that's causing that, is it?
It's not just agriculture, but when we look at our assessments, and I should say, you know, the main thing, the EPA is a science, a data and evidence body. Agriculture is causing half of the problems.
So we're
seeing half of our water bodies are not at satisfactory condition and agriculture is half.
And that's in relation to water.
And the problem being is it's getting worse.
Okay.
So it is a significant problem. Now, like everything, it's not the only problem, but it is a significant problem.
Yeah. Well, we heard there in the piece before that in 1973, the year I was born, there were roughly the same number of cattle in Ireland as there are now. So not much has changed in terms of the population. It's fluctuated. We've 18,000 dairy farmers milking 1.2 million cows now. That number has increased. But that's an average herd size of 60 cows, which you'd hardly call industrial by global standards, despite the narrative that's out there. But what has changed, Laura, has been in that 48 years, the increase in transport and energy use. So, you know, we wouldn't be talking maybe so much about methane, despite its potency, if we hadn't increased the amount of transport and energy usage over the last 48 years or so. So farmers will say, is the focus on agri emissions a little bit disproportionate when you look at that, the increase in carbon emissions from other sectors?
I think we have to look at all sectors and I think we need to be really careful. It shouldn't be one sector pitted against another. And it's always easy for, you know, any of us to say, if only somebody else over there would do something, then, you know, life would be easier. And, you know, but not me. And the thing is, I think no matter, like, first of all, of course, emissions in the transport sector, the energy sector have to come down. And there's very, I suppose, stringent targets for those as well. But I think no matter what, we would be talking about methane in the agriculture sector.
Mm-hmm.
There is a significant,
No, you're okay there.
Sorry,
I think that point was made yesterday at that Farmers Journal seminar about, you know, the carbon emissions from transport. So that's something that's in all our hands. Methane, maybe not so much, but certainly when it comes to fossil fuel usage, that's something that you and I can try and deal with.
Look, I think every one of us has a responsibility to make an effort. And that's not only in greenhouse gas emissions, it's, you know, across the environment and all, you know, in all of our actions. But I suppose one of the things why we're really talking about the methane issue is the rapid increase in, and again, the CSO were on earlier talking about that increase in the dairy herd. And we had seen reductions in greenhouse gas emissions. But now what we're seeing in the last, over the last 8 years, seven of those years have been increasing greenhouse gas emissions. When as a country, but also a kind of, we have said that we are going to be reducing our emissions, agriculture is going the wrong way.
Yeah, you did mention earlier on about individual farm level and things that are going on. And we heard what Gareth, for example, is doing as a tillage farmer. Like, there are changes afoot on farms with advice from Chagas, such as more efficient slurry spreading, more use of protected urea, more efficient breeding programs, and methane reducing feed additives, I believe, are nearing the market. That's just to name but a few measures that are going on farms that you would go to, that I would visit. So you could say that, of course, time has run out. The clock has run out in terms of getting our act together. But do you accept that it could be maybe another couple of years before we see the fruits of what's going on now and over the last 3 or 4 years?
I think we need to be careful of always looking into the future and saying it will be resolved. Yeah. To be honest with you, we see within the inventories, of course, there's a time lag, but it's only a relatively short time lag. We report kind of the next year. I think what we're seeing is there's lots of good stuff happening at a local level, but it's not enough. And the scale isn't there. So we need more farmers, more people doing all of these actions. It is committed, I know, in the Climate Action Plan, all of the measures you're talking about and the Chagas MAC curve, which has been talked a lot about as well. We need to get on with it. But it is really about scaling up, because a small number of farmers doing this won't result in the change.
You're only as strong as your weakest link in anything, and that's the other piece.
I suppose really to highlight, because I think we need to be careful as an agency talking about, you know, the environment and kind of farmers going, oh no, here they come again, kind of coming down from their ivory tower. It really is in all our interest, and it's an economic interest as well, to make sure that we're doing the right thing, because we promote ourselves on being clean and green, and we have to have the evidence to demonstrate it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, competitors to Ireland will look in and say, well, how come Ireland are promoting themselves in a particular way, but their water quality is going down, their greenhouse gas emissions are going up, etc.
So is Origin Green fit for purpose in its current guise?
I think one of the things we've said is all of these various schemes are really valuable. They're valuable at an individual level. They're promoting, they're supporting farmers to do the right thing. But again, it's about scale, and it's realising that efficiency alone won't deliver, because the environment doesn't understand efficiency. It understands the total impact. And that's why we do have to do more. And I think in all of these schemes as well, and I suppose I also look to the EPA as a regulator. We regulate the food and drink sector. And I would say, looking at, we have what's called a priority site list, which is the companies that aren't performing as they should and are the focus of our efforts. They're only around 5% of the sites we license. But around 30% of our priority sites are from the food and drink sector over the last number of years.
So that's at industry level.
That's at industry level. So it's not only the farmer level.
Sure.
This is at an industry level.
The complete food chain. Again, just going back to, you know, what we'd hear from farmers whenever we discuss, you know, the big problems in agriculture in terms of reducing emissions. They'll say, look, we're working to EU rules regarding nitrates. We're inspected within an inch of our life by the likes of the EPA and Borbia and the EU and the Department of Agriculture. So they say, can you not understand why we feel we're doing everything by the book, but we're being headlined as the poster boys for environmental destruction all on our own?
Well, I don't think farmers should be kind of targeted
like
that.
Well, we in the media kind of love portraying it as such.
Well, I'll look to the media to, you know, I think we need to be really careful that we don't end up with a polarised debate. Mm. It's back to every single one of us has a role to play. And it shouldn't be farmers against others, because farmers are the custodians of the environment. And the farmers I meet are really proud of their land. And I think we need to look at you know, win-wins. And again, you were talking about some of those schemes. You know, nitrates are a problem, particularly in the east and southeast of Ireland. They're causing problems for our waters. But we also know there's options with regard to nitrogen fertilizer. We need to break the link between the animal numbers, the fertilizer, and the water quality. But there's things that can be done. So it's a question of, rather than, I suppose, people throwing grenades at each other, actually getting on with the right things.
Well, should farmers be led, you know, in terms of incentives and reward incentives to actually diversify, you know, in a sort of a just transition scenario? Again, farmers will follow the money if the incentives are there at national and EU level.
I think absolutely. I think there's a huge opportunity in the context of the next CAP to incentivise and support farmers it's not even do the right thing, but do what we now know are the things that are needed for both the environment and, as I said, to protect our own economic interest as well. And there's, as I said, loads of good examples. You look at some of the farming for nature, you look at the Burren Life, and it's results-based payments. So it's paying farmers for environmental outcomes. And that really has a huge opportunity to, I suppose, have win-wins for the farmers, but also for the environment.
OK, there is a lot of talk about reducing the national herd, and farmers say there's ways of actually reducing emissions without reducing numbers, but that's obviously still a little bit up in the air. But Ireland, I think, accounts for 1% of global milk production and about 5% of dairy production in Europe. If we were to reduce production and output here, the argument that farmers make is, well, sure, it'll be just shifted to a more unsustainable country, because the demand is growing globally. What do you say to that argument?
Well, I think we've a responsibility to protect our own environment. And what we're seeing is back to, I suppose, I keep coming back to the science and the evidence and the data, which is, at the moment, the trends are going in the wrong way. At the moment, it's difficult to stand over some of those environmental claims when you look at see what's happening. And we also need to be careful. It's back to promoting ourselves in clean and green, because if we keep producing more and more and we damage our environment, then we will lose the credibility of our original market. So we have to, from both an economic and an environmental perspective. But saying if we don't do it, someone else will, is not an argument when we are not protecting our own environment. We have to, that's the key for us.
Well, finally, Laura, what does the aim of being carbon neutral by 2050, what does it mean for Irish agriculture? What would you say to a young farmer this morning milking his or her 60 cows?
I think there's a huge opportunity. You know, we all change and evolve, and farming no different, and hearing different farming practices over the years, of course, has changed. Mm-hmm. It will change again. I think there's going to be opportunities to diversify. I think there's going to be opportunities to be incentivized and supported. You know, it's not one extreme or the other. So it's not you move completely to one type of farming to forestry.
Will we be milking cows in Ireland in 2050?
I would say we will be milking cows, but we'll also have farms that will have some forestry on them. Yeah. We may be looking at different things like carbon farming and getting actually paid to protect the land. So there will be opportunities, and so now is the time to take those opportunities.
Absolutely. Well, it's a work in progress, hopefully, as you say there, Laura. And thanks very much for joining us this morning. And we obviously chat to you again in the future when you come up with more statistics from your, looking at the industry in general and looking at other industries and where we're going. Anyway, that